Kane is in the building.
Short sleeve shirt season is here, which means summer is around the corner. Stay cool in the hottest shirts at work, the beach, or at barbecues. Head over to libertyshirtco.com to design your one-of-a-kind shirt. Use promo code 3PEAT at checkout. That's libertyshirtco.com and promo code 3PEAT.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to actually our final episode of season 3, episode 22. And it's funny because right now I'm wearing a Bill Murray Toon Squad jersey, number 22, so it's funny to finish off with that. I'm your host, Ian Benazzo, and I'm joined along with
Alex Castle,
Josh Bromowitz.
And it's funny, before we get into our show, so I hopped onto the Zoom meeting, and Bromowitz is wearing a Nets jersey. And then Castle joins in. He's wearing his AE Pie jersey, basketball jersey, and I'm wearing my Toon Squad Bill Murray basketball jersey. And it was not planned. It was just, I'm in the middle of cutting the grass, so I was like, let me just throw on something quick. I was hot and sweaty, so threw on this Toon Squad jersey. Especially honoring the new Space Jam 2 that's coming out July 16th. So check that out with LeBron James. Castle, you said you woke up and put on the Pie jersey, right?
It just felt like a jersey day, Steve. We were all destined to be repping these different jerseys today.
Yep, and then
we're playoff basketball right now, so it makes sense.
Well, that's it. And then Bromowitz obviously wearing his new James Harden jersey that he wore to Game 2, the Nets Bucks series, and obviously tonight's game 3. So he's excited wearing that.
I think that's a great segue into what we should talk about first then. Game 2 of the Nets.
That's it. So let's start off with NBA playoffs, like you said. Nets Bucks, I tell you what, those Nets, they mean business. I mean, they are just destroying the Milwaukee Bucks, who owned the best record in basketball last year. And this year, what are they, 3 seed?
Yeah, the Nets were a game or two better than them, so nothing like drastic.
And I tell you what, the Nets are just making the Bucks look like the Bucks shouldn't even be on the same court as them. I know the first two games were in Brooklyn, it goes to Milwaukee tonight. But Bromowitz, I'll let you. I know you probably got a lot to say, a lot of good things about the Nets to say, probably a lot of bad things about the Bucks and Giannis to say. So let's not keep them waiting. Just give it to them.
One thing that you failed to mention, which I think is the most important to remember about all this, is the Nets were without James Harden in Game 2.
And he's not playing tonight.
He's not playing tonight because they're up 2-0. No need to rush him back. He's got hamstring tightness, so nothing too serious. But the same injury that cost him a month of play this year. But when I was at the game, the Nets were up by 49 at one point. 49 points in a round 2 playoff game between a 2 seed and a 3 seed. That's unheard of, Steve and Alex. Like, it doesn't happen. The Nets were just not missing threes. But there's more to that. The Nets, all year, we know offense is their thing, defense is their weakness. But they held the Bucks, the highest scoring team in the regular season, to 86 points. Completely shut them down. Yes, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, they took over. They had their moments. But they got their role players involved very early. Joe Harris had 4 threes in the game. Bruce Brown was a factor on both ends of the floor. Mike James continued his scoring surge in this round. Landry Shamet knocked down a few threes. Claxton was electric. And Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin is channeling his Clipper days with his highlight dunks, posterizing Giannis, which just ignited the Brooklyn crowd. And it was a sight to see, just witnessing it in person. And on the flip side, the Bucks. Wow, it seems like what I've said has come true. Giannis is not a Jordan, like I've said for over a year now. He's a Pippen at best. He's not the guy that Milwaukee thinks he is. He can't be the primary scorer if he can't shoot. the Nets would just foul him. He went 2 of 7 from the free throw line. Leave him wide open from three, make him shoot there. Couldn't make a three. Yeah, he drives, but if he gets fouled, he'll go to the free throw line and miss easy free throws. He's a liability to his team on the court. And Chris Middleton last week, I said, should be the guy, but boy, he's looking awful so far. He's shooting like under 30% this playoffs. Drew Holiday's been all right, but the damage has been done. In order for the Bucks to win these next two games at home, they need Middleton and Drew Holiday to score 20-plus points, which hasn't been done yet this series. And Giannis needs to find a way to learn how to shoot some free throws, because similar to what people are doing in Philly with Ben Simmons, the hack of Ben, people are going to start doing that more with Giannis, the hack of Giannis system.
Well, that's interesting that you mentioned that. I mean, if he can't be, you know, delivering free throws should be the easiest points for a player in a team. And especially a guy like Giannis.
Especially a two-time MVP, keep in mind, who scored 25-plus points the past 3 years. You would think if scoring is his thing, free throws should be no big deal. But, oof.
Yeah. And that's why I was, you know, kind of talking to you before this. Obviously, Giannis is a very good player. I mean, him driving to the rim is almost unstoppable. But he just cannot shoot. He's not a consistent shooter. And to be honest, in these days, you need to be able to shoot. He can't just pull up and just hit a shot mid-range or from three-point. You know, in the All-Star game, maybe he hits some threes because no one's playing defense. He has a wide-open three, and I would hope, as an MVP player, he can hit it. But I'll tell you what, Brook Lopez is their best three-point shooter on that team. And I haven't really been
But that already, if Brook Lopez is the best three-point shooter, and sorry to cut you off, I would say that's already an issue because the Nets lack height and size. So you would hope a guy like Brook Lopez would get his points from 2 feet away. But no, he's just standing on the corner hoping he gets the ball. And he'll make his threes. He hit 2 threes early in the game, in game two. But the Nets lack size. You have Kevin Durant guarding him. He's given up a lot of weight to Brook Lopez. Back him down in the post, which they did a little bit, but not enough consistently the past two games. You need guys like Middleton and Holiday to be knocking down those threes, not Brook Lopez.
No, and that's the thing, because you need Brook Lopez, like you said, down the paint to try to get rebounds and dish it out. But guys like Middleton's not making his shots. Drew Holiday's not making his shots. Giannis has not been consistent. So then Brook Lopez is like really the only consistent one shooting, you know, beyond the arc. And you just can't have that. So, Castle, let me ask you, you know, I know Famous gave a very honest opinion, you know, on this analysis, but still he's got some bias towards him with the Nets. So, Castle, you know, I want to get your opinion from being a non-bias. You're not a fan of either team, neither am I. So let's hear what you have to say with it.
I gotta say a lot of what Josh is saying is spot on from what I've observed, at least. I mean, to let up 49 points in the second round of the playoffs is absurd. I mean, I don't really know what the Bucks need to do. I don't know what their formula to success is. I think that Milwaukee invested a lot of money in Giannis, and he's definitely not playing up to the money. And I also want to know with him is what kind of leadership is this guy bringing? I mean, 49 points, that's how much you let up? What are you saying in the huddle? You're the face of Milwaukee. Now, look, Milwaukee is not a big market team like New York, but still, the Bucks have sort of put their name on the map in the league, and Giannis just, to me, is not showing any of that. Aside from the fact that he's not scoring or doing anything, I mean, where was this explosive guy? Where's this Greek freak that we've all come to know? I'm not seeing any of that. And I think that's what's really hurting Milwaukee. And the same thing, similar to Chris Middleton. Now, Middleton's a much better shooter. So he's just, to me, he was just bricking a lot of shots. I don't know if he was just, you know, overwhelmed by the Brooklyn environment, you know, down a game, and he's just trying to chuck shots up. I don't really know what his mentality is. But he's a guy that's got to step it up. Drew Holiday's got to step it up. I mean, kudos to Brook Lopez. I mean, this guy's a vet, and he's still popping threes like it's nothing. And I think he's a guy that they need to feed more. And, you know, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I think a guy that they need to feed a little more coming off the bench is Bobby Portis. I'm a big Bobby Portis guy. He's a guy that could shoot on the outside. He's a guy that could play nicely in the perimeter and size up with some of the Nets. Give him some more time. I mean, you know, Budenholzer has had a lot of experience in the playoffs, in the Eastern Conference, with the Hawks, now with the Bucks. He shouldn't be afraid to mix it up. Try anything at this point. This is the top team in the East. They have three of the best players in the game of basketball. You can't be afraid to get creative. So that's what I see from the Bucks' perspective. And from the Nets, I mean, there's not really too much to say. Kyrie and KD shooting lights out. Blake Griffin, like Josh said, is showing flashes of his Clippers days, which I love to see. Claxton is doing great. They're rolling with what they got. And, you know, if the Bucks cannot win this first game tonight, I personally see a sweep. If you can't win the first game on your home turf and you're down three games and you can't get any offense going, because, look, we know that they can't do a lot defensively with what the Nets are bringing to the table. So if they can't get hot offensively early, I don't know about you guys, but I find it very, very hard for them to come back at this point.
No, I do too. And promise, I know we were kind of talking, like we said earlier, that you think if the Bucks win this game, the Nets will win in five. If not, the Nets will win in four.
Yeah, I think this is the most important game for the Bucks, because 2-1 and 3-0 are completely different. It's a huge momentum swing. If they win tonight, it'll be 2-1, and then they'll have another game at home with the possibility to tie the series 2-2. But if they lose tonight, down 3-0, they're going to lose the series, essentially. No one comes back from down 3-0. It doesn't happen in any sport, and especially against this high-powered offense that also doesn't have James Harden yet. Well, right now, waiting for a Nets loss to come back. So, it's a must-win for the Bucks tonight, because they're at home. They'll have their home fans. They won't have to deal with the Brooklyn crowd, but it's still the same Brooklyn team that they're facing. So it's going to be a high explosive game. And yeah.
And it's interesting too. And I think Castle, you kind of mentioned it. The Bucks invested a lot of money into Giannis this season, off season. And they did it because as a two-time MVP, you want to keep a player like that. And you want him to lead your team, or you think he's a guy to lead your team to an NBA championship, to the finals. And Giannis has not even really come close to that, really. I mean, has he made the Eastern Conference Finals at all?
Yeah, last year when they lost to Miami.
Well, that wasn't in the Eastern Conference Finals, though. Was it?
I believe it was the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay, was it? All right. So, I'm playing. You know, that whole last season, it was just –
It was a blur for everyone.
Fans and players still have the bubble hangover, Steve. It's okay.
There we go. So, I guess technically he's kind of come close, but still, he hasn't made that next step. You know, I mean, you see a guy like LeBron, and he brings pretty much every team he's been with, or he has. Every team he's been with, he's brought them to the finals at some point. They may have not have won the finals, but they have made it. And he has won. You know, he didn't win any with Cleveland during his first stint. And then obviously he won it with Miami a few times. He did win when he came back to Cleveland. Obviously he's won with the Lakers.
My mistake. The Bucks didn't go to the Eastern Conference Finals. It was the Celtics.
Checked that too. Yeah.
That's what I thought. I knew that it didn't seem right.
Boston fans listening.
So that's what I'm saying. Or even a guy like KD. He brought the Thunder to the finals that 1 year against Miami, lost. And then when he joined the Warriors, obviously the Warriors were probably going to go to the finals no matter what, but he really they just demolished on the Cavs and when he won his few. And now with Brooklyn, it's so far looking like they're the team to beat in the East. So Giannis has yet to show that, and they invested a lot of money into him. And then even Drew Holiday, they invested a lot of their future into acquiring him. They gave up Bledsoe. And it just seems like he hasn't brought that different spark that they were hoping he would bring. And to be honest, if the Bucks lose a series, which like we all agree on, it seems more than likely they will lose a series. And especially if they get swept, Budenholzer is out. I don't see him returning. I mean, I really don't. Like I said, you have a two-time MVP. You have a pretty good roster built, and you've yet to help lead this team to past, like it seems like the second round, the semifinals. So
he got out coached in the first two games to a rookie head coach.
Yeah, and Steve Nash, I mean, not only is he a rookie head coach, I mean, he's just – he really has had no coaching experience at all. I mean, it's not like he's been an assistant or anything. Like, this dude just came out of nowhere. I mean, we only remember him for his playing days. So that's what I'm saying. He's getting out. And granted, the Nets are a much better team than the Bucks are because they don't match up with KD, Kyrie, and, you know, Harden. I don't think any team really does. So I think the Bucks, they're going to have a lot of possible change coming up. I'm not going to say Giannis gets traded, but I think Budenholzer is on the hot seat. And have this the way this series is going, it's not looking good for him. And who knows what the other guys on the roster, what happens with them. So that's just a waiting game. But then another team that's looking really good, and he was a former Clipper too, played Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, and the Phoenix Suns. And they have Phoenix rocking. They have Phoenix energized. They have Phoenix invested in this team, and they have a lot of people invested in their team. And so far, both my teams, I said Nets, Suns, Finals, and that, I mean, right now, that's looking pretty good. So I'm hoping it makes it like that. But I'll tell you what, Jokic, who's actually was just named MVP yesterday or 2 days ago, his Nuggets have not matched up with the Suns. And now the series goes back to Denver, so same kind of thing. If Denver takes this first game, or takes, you know, the first game in Denver, now the series looks a little bit different. You know, who knows? Now they can catch some spark. But Phoenix wins that game in Denver. I think it's similar to, like we said, with Brooklyn and Milwaukee. That series looks like it could, you know, it's going to be tough for Denver to come back. Now, listen, Denver, and we all, pretty much all the bubble, all the playoffs last year, Denver came back from, seemed like, 3-1 deficits for the first, like, two rounds. And then they ended up losing, obviously, to Los Angeles in the Western Conference Finals. But, however, this time they don't have Jamal Murray, so they were lacking too. So, what are your guys' thoughts on this series? And do you think Phoenix will be able to pull it out pretty easily?
I think Denver, unlike Milwaukee, has a better shot at snatching a few wins at home because they have Nikola Jokic, the MVP. No Jamal Murray, that's a tough task. Chris Paul, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, they're playing very, very good basketball right now. And their role players, Jake Crowder, Cam Johnson, Cameron Payne, you name it.
Mikal Bridges. How are you? Mikal
Bridges. He's playing unbelievable. I was getting to him. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. All right.
But Jokic is also getting his guys involved. It's not like he is shying away from competition like Giannis and Middleton and Holiday. Jokic is still putting up points. Michael Porter Jr. is playing through an injury right now, so his production is not there. And then there's a drop-off. Then Aaron Gordon's their next best player, and he's all right, but not the same level as the Suns guys. But I do think that the Nuggets will win at least one of two at home, and I'd be shocked if they get swept.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest – I want to, like I said, not only did I pick Phoenix, but I do enjoy watching the Suns play. I Devin Booker, and they even said some people, some of the shots he's been making, they're like, it seems like it reminds them of Kobe, you know, getting, you know, with contact and still making it. And Devin Booker has come up clutch. And then CP3, again, just the presence of him being on that court just is so powerful and so impactful for whatever team he's playing for. And then guys like DeAndre Ayton are just stepping up. Mikal Bridges is doing phenomenal. And I'm pretty sure I picked him as an underrated, you know, under the radar player last week's episode to keep an eye out on during the series. So, Castle, you know, what are your thoughts on the series? I'm sure you're impressed by the Suns, but do you see Denver making a little bit of a comeback since they go back to their home city, or do you think Phoenix is going to run away with this pretty easily?
Like Josh said, Denver's got a much better chance to keep this series competitive as opposed to the next Bucks one. I think Jokic is going to come home. You know, it's his first game since he was at home, since he was announced MVP. And I definitely think that's got to spark something. I mean, you know, not the best comparison, but the night that Julius Randle accepted his award at the Garden, they won. So I think being in front of the fans, knowing that you have that award, I think that brings some sort of element to it. You know, I'm sure they'll be giving him the MVP chance and that'll spark it, but he's not the only guy on that team. We need to see other people contribute. And like Josh said, Porter Jr. hasn't been playing to his full potential because of the injury. And then you have the drop off with Aaron Gordon, which I'm not too impressed with him this series. I saw a video today of him going back and forth with Crowder on the court in the last game. And like, Gordon's an experienced enough guy where, listen, chit-chat makes the playoffs a lot better. But, like, when you're down like that, you don't need to have that type of distraction on the court. You need to be focused, and you need to be doing whatever you can to contribute to the team. So I think for the Nuggets, they got to make a splash game three at home. But if not, love this Phoenix team. It's not just what the guys on the court can produce, but a big part of it is the chemistry. And a lot of that goes to Chris Paul. He's a veteran who knows how to talk to these younger guys and bring these guys together. And I think the behind the scenes work that he's doing is just as important as to what's being produced on the court. And I think it makes the Suns very hard to not advance to the next round. So I see game three being more competitive, but do I see the Nuggets making it out alive? No, I don't think so.
One more thing that I want to say that I think is also very important to talk about for the Suns. Monty Williams is an incredible fit for them. He coached Chris Paul when they were together on the Hornets, and now he's the coach for the Suns. And I personally feel he was robbed of Coach of the Year, which was won by Castle's Knicks, is Tom Thibodeau. Rightfully deserved, but I think look at where the Suns were with what they had. I know the Knicks had nothing too, but the Suns are still, look at where they are right now. They're destined to possibly go to the finals. The Knicks, I think, can still reach that in a few years, but they're not there yet. Monty Williams brought them to that immediate finals type team in the span of a year, it seemed like. Because last year they were just in the bubble, won 8 straight games, but didn't even make the playoffs. So the chemistry that Chris Paul and Monty Williams have is incredible, and it's probably the best coach-player duo in all of basketball.
And the whole Coach of the Year topic, that's, you know, that could be a conversation for a different day. But I understand your point. I think both guys are obviously very deserving, but it is – really impressive what the Suns have been able to do from, like you said, make it to the bubble, but not even make it as an 8 seed last year. And then this year be the number 2 seed and only be like a game out of being the number 1 seed for not only the West, but the entire league. So very impressive. But it, like Castle, you're saying, I think it was a great point. Jokic accepting his MVP trophy could create a spark for Denver. And especially, I'm sure Denver, you know, they got the Avalanche, they got the Nuggets. So, you know, they got a lot going for them right now. So they're excited. You know, they're paying attention to sports right now. Their teams are doing phenomenal. So there's going to be a lot of good energy for that first game in Denver. But it really just comes down to, can the Nuggets match with the Suns? I mean, like you said, Booker's playing out of his mind. Bridges is playing phenomenal. CP3. Ayton's playing great. So Jokic is playing great, but Aaron Gordon, is he going to be able to step up? Michael Porter Jr. has been playing very well this entire playoffs, but now he's dealing with some sort of injury. So that could – I mean, it did hurt his quality of play. So is he going to be able to overcome that? These are questions that – none of us can really answer. We're just going to have to wait and see until that third game is played. So the NBA playoffs is definitely a lot going on. Very fun to watch right now. A lot of exciting basketball being played, and can't wait to just continue watching it and winding down to the final series, the NBA Finals, and I think it's going to be a very fun, very competitive finals to watch. So that you'll just have to wait and see. And Promise got his next level Nets towel that did you get from the game? He got from the game, so he's rallying the towel around, you know. Yeah, he's going sick right now. But yeah, let's put this away now. We're gonna move to baseball, so put it away. And the Yankees, not been looking too good. They've won two straight, and they put up some runs, so that was good. But we got swept by Boston, which does not sit well at all. And then we split with the Rays, which it would have been very nice to sweep them or win the series. I guess splitting is better than losing the series or getting swept. But that was a big week for within the division. I mean, if we won both series, we would have been in good place for first place right now. Instead, we get swept by Boston. We split the series with the Rays 2-2, and now we're in third place still, like four games behind Boston, and I don't even know how many, probably five or six behind Tampa. So I just want to get your guys' thoughts. I'm not pleased. I mean, yesterday was good to see Stan hitting two home runs, five RBIs total, Judge hitting a home run. Andujar's actually been stepping up. Gary's been looking a little bit better. So this series so far has been pretty good, knock on wood. But overall, not too much to celebrate about the Yankees. And I know both of you are probably not upset. So, Castle, what do you think is wrong with the Yankees right now?
I think it's a bunch of different factors that play into it. I think one of the biggest issues is the lack of production from our offense. I mean, Stanton and Judge are big hitters, and the fact that they're inconsistent, that really hurts the production of how well we're hitting the ball. I mean, I know you shouldn't put it all on two guys, but come on, when you think of the Yankees, they're the two big bats. I also think that the bullpen has been slacking a lot. I mean, you know, we've been dealing with injuries with the bullpen, and we're just not getting the production that we expect going into the season. I mean, going into the season, there was a lot of hope for the Yankees. There were some people saying that they were going to return to the World Series with how they were looking, with the way that the lineup was shaping, and we're not seeing that. And you know, there are specific players that I've just been very disappointed in, like Gleyber Torres, man. What's going on with him? He's been struggling at the plate a lot. He's a young guy. He's a big part of the infield. And it's disappointing there. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, you guys can – I'm love to hear this, but it might be time for a management change for the Yankees. Aaron Boone, I just don't think he's it. I don't know if he's not motivating these guys well enough. I don't know if he's not making the right calls with the pitching rotation or the rotation of the lineup, but something is just not clicking. And I hate to say it because I know the guy suffered a major a heart condition, or he had like operation.
He's had a heart condition. He's gone, you know, heart surgery numerous times, and he had it like right before spring training. They were at camp, but right before the games first started. So, and I was going to say something about that. I'll let you finish though.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, listen, you know, I'm sure that definitely took a toll on him, and there's more factors. But at the end of the day, something is just not clicking. And then when I think that you have a lot of potential with your lineup and your roster, and you're not seeing production out of the team as a whole, and you're losing these games, I mean, like you guys said, getting swept by Boston, I couldn't even watch the whole first game. You know, when who was on the mound? Armand that night? What was it? Was that one of the first games that
Who was on that mound that night?
I think Armand
or Tyone or something, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, I think Boone is a big problem for the team. And I know Josh will probably get into this when he talks, but the whole incident with Gerrit Cole, I'm sure that press is not helping what's going on in the locker room either.
And yeah, I definitely do want to get into that Garrett Cole situation. But back to your Aaron Boone thing, you know, I definitely do think it's time for a managerial change. I don't think Boone is it. Joe Girardi, I really miss him. And I feel bad because he obviously had that fantastic roster back in 2009 and stuff like that, and they won. And then even after that, they were winning, but then that core four just retired and stuff like that. So it was tough to replace that and try to rebound after that. And then 2017, he brought that team to the ALCS, which was way, you know, a lot of people thought we were still a few years away, and then we already reached that way before, you know, everyone's projection. And then he left, and then Boone kind of took over this roster that was so close to being a World Series contender and champion. And then you add Cole, and then you kept a lot of pretty much every other positional guy. And now it's like, all right, we're World Series contenders, and we have yet to reach that level. And then this year, we're just really, really failing our expectations. And back to, and I, you know, I know the guy had the surgery and stuff like that, and I don't know, maybe he was told to take it easy this year, and I don't blame him. But if that's the case, then maybe he should not have returned. And I hate to say it, you know, I don't want to, like, obviously it sucks that he had to go through that, and I'm glad that everything was good. But at the end of the day, this is still business. The Yankees and Yankees fans expect winning. That's what we've known, and that's what we expect. So if he's not able to really lead the team to the best possible chance and give it his best effort, then, you know, maybe he should have thought about coming back, you know, or let someone else lead the team and maybe step down. And I give him props for sticking with us and, you know, so going out leading it right after just getting the surgery, which was not a minor. It wasn't like he got leg surgery or something. I mean, it was open heart surgery, so that's very serious. But then the day, we don't see the same fire that he had the past, you know, couple years, or at least in 2018, 2019 with the Savages, 2019. You know, that was a fun year. I mean, we won over 100 games. The whole Savages thing, that was a good spark, and just have yet to see that from him this year. And I don't know if it's because of his health or it's just, I don't know why. But I think it's time that someone else takes over. And I really, Hal Steinbrenner, I mean, I don't know if he's the right guy leading, you know, being the true leader of this team either. You know, his father, he's just not following all the practices that his father preached and did. I mean, George Steinbrenner, he expected to win every year, and he would not care about money or anything. He wanted the best players, so he did whatever it took to get the best players. And the Yankees won all those times. And people could say, well, the Yankees won their championships. Well, who cares? They still won, you know? They still were raising the trophies at the end of the year, so the other fans can, you know, just suck it. I mean, like, to be honest, like, look at the Dodgers now. They're you could say they're buying their championships and all that. So you kind of almost have to. I mean, MLB's tough. It's not like the NFL or NBA where you can draft a guy and they make such a huge impact already. A lot of times you draft a guy and they don't come into the league 3, 4, 5, and in some cases almost like 6 years after they get drafted. So you rely on the free agents, you know, class. And I'm not going to say Hal obviously hasn't. I mean, they got Garrett Cole. They trade for Stansby. They have made moves, but they need to make more moves. And sometimes they hold back a little bit while George would have just made the moves. I don't care. Give me this guy because he knows that guy can help them win a championship. So that's my opinion. I think there's a lot more than just the players. I think it's a lot more with the front office and the ownership. And the Yankees need to figure this out soon because, I mean, like we've said all throughout this entire existence of 3-peat, over 10 years is too long for, you know, Yankees not winning a World Series. The Yankees – they make me lose my words. The Yankees are expected to win every year. In reality, they should be in contention to win every year, and they just haven't been. And it just really does not sit well with me. So, Fromitz, let me get off my rant, or else I'm going to, you know, talk for another 3 hours about this. So, Fromitz, give us your opinion so I can shut up.
Well, going back to the Aaron Boone thing, I don't want to talk as much about that, but I agree. I don't like the lineups he's been doing. Giancarlo Stanton's been DH, but he's been resting like 2 days in a row. That just doesn't make sense. There's no way guys will, like him, will find his rhythm and consistency by sitting every like 2 days or whatever it is. If he's DH, he's not in the field. There's no excuse for him to not be getting those reps that are needed for repetition if he is sitting on the bench. But the Gerrit Cole thing you mentioned, Castle, it is a huge distraction right now with the Yankees organization and throughout baseball. Gerrit Cole is being accused for using a spider tack substance for when he pitches, and it allegedly affects his spin rate when pitching. And then when he got roughed up last outing, forgot who they were against. Steve, who are they? Who were the Yankees?
It was the Rays. The Rays, yeah.
Yeah, so it was one of the two games they lost to the Rays. He got roughed up, five earned in like five innings, so not the usual Gerrit Cole we're accustomed to. And his spin rate was down drastically, and sources are coming out, reports are coming out saying that, oh, it's because of the spider tack that he didn't use, or he tried hiding it or whatever the claims are. And then reporters are asking him during Zoom interviews, and he's caught off guard, giving awkward answers because he's not expecting these questions. So his facial appearances and his answers are very off because it's an awkward topic to be talking about. So he's very caught off guard. So I think that is a huge distraction right now. Do I think he's using it? I don't really know. I'm not him, so I can't comment on that. But I don't really know why it's that big of a deal, because I don't think a substance should affect how a pitcher throws the ball. Gripping, if he still dominated the Twins last night and clearly didn't use, so I guess that already defeats that claim. But putting a substance on, it just confuses me, the whole thing. I don't know how it helps or hurts or whatever. So this whole thing confuses me. I'm sure it confuses all Yankee fans, the Yankees organization, because it's a very odd thing to be thrown at this team right now while they're trying to deal with their own problems.
It is, and it seems like it kind of came out of nowhere. Like, I don't know, just one day it was like, oh, Gerrit Cole and other pitchers can be or other players could be using this sticky substance, and then they haven't, and that's why, you know, Gerrit Cole, you could see every other start he's been phenomenal, and then like the past two, well, besides last night, but the previous two starts, he was allowing all these earned runs. His spin rate wasn't the same or as good. So I don't know. It was just weird. And so, like you said, it was not a good thing to be happening to the Yankees right now with their ace, their leader of this team. And like you said, Cole was caught off guard with the question, and he really gave a suspicious answer. I could see, here's the thing. Yes, you're caught off guard and you're probably like, you know, he's just trying to do a normal interview. Now they're asking this question. He's trying to think of it. That being said, though, Gerrit Cole should have kind of denied it. You know, so it kind of leaves you the suspicions that, well, if he couldn't just give a clear, like, no, I was not using it, then, you know, he probably is using it or was using it at some point. But then, like you said, he's caught off guard. And you're kind of like trying to give the right answer where, you know, you're not, I don't know. I think there could have been a better way of going about it. But at the same time, you don't want to say, no, he wasn't using it, and then he was, and then that can lead to further trouble for, you know, and it is a, just like the sticky substance, it's a sticky situation, and I wish it wasn't with the Yankees, because we have a lot more problems. We don't need a problem with our ace, one of the only bright spots on this team right now to be involved with this, and then have that distract him, which with that then distracts the whole team. Just it's a bit of a mess for the Yankees right now, and hopefully you're just praying that they can turn it around just so we can be happy and enjoy baseball, because I haven't really enjoyed baseball too much so far because the Yankees haven't been winning. So hopefully that resolves itself. And then just to finish off this episode, we haven't really talked hockey in a while, and we can't forget about the NHL. They actually just announced their finalists for the MVP, the Hart Trophy. It's Connor McDavid, the three M's, Connor McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon, and I believe it was Auston Matthews. So, I mean, to me, it seems like the favorite might be McDavid. He scored over 100 points in, what, like 50 games. So, fantastic. But I know, I mean, you can't discredit what Auston Matthews and Nathan MacKinnon did. So, let's I mean, I guess we can give our predictions for who we think is going to win MVP, and then we'll talk about the playoffs, which obviously is a big topic at hand because their playoffs are winding down and they're getting pretty intense. So, Promise, who do you think is going to win MVP?
It's McDavid, and it's not even close. Putting up over 100 points, I think no one's even close to him. Not even Matthews, McKinnon, no one in the league comes close to what he did, scoring, passing. Everyone, when you think of hockey, even if you don't know much, you know a little, you know, it's Connor McDavid won. It's just like Mike Trout in baseball. A generational talent, and it's not even close. So I think when it comes to MVP, it's Connor McDavid or no one.
Okay. Castle, how about you?
Yeah. I mean, Josh basically covered it. I'm not as well-versed in hockey as you boys, but I know enough where if a young center like McDavid is putting up all these numbers and is endorsed by one of the greats, Wayne Gretzky, then it's kind of a no-brainer. I mean, I have watched the guy play a little bit, and the speed and puck control that he has for a guy at his position just makes it so exciting for fans to watch. And I think it's well-deserved. I really do.
And so I just looked up their stats. McKinnon finished with 65 points. He had 20 goals, I believe, and then 45 assists. And then Auston Matthews had 66 points, 41 goals, which is pretty, you know, impressive. And then must have been, 25 assists too, or whatever it was. And then McDavid had 105 points in 56 games played with 33 goals and 72 assists. So, yeah, I think McDavid's going to run away with this. No problem. He's a face of the NHL right now.
The only negative I could see, and it would be from McKinnon winning, is you look at the teams in the playoffs. Edmonton got swept in the first round.
Yep.
Toronto, they blew a 3-1 lead. So that
three. Was it three? It might have been 3-0.
Might have been 3-0.
But they still blew that huge lead.
Tavares got hurt. Regardless, they blew a huge lead. McKinnon, though, Colorado, they're still in. They're playing Vegas out west right now with the chance to go to the Stanley Cup. But I think since it's a regular season award, that it should go to McDavid.
So, yeah, I think, you know, like you said, I think that's going to be the favorite. And so let's talk some playoffs. How about them Canadiens? I mean, they, like we said, they came back. They beat the Maple Leafs, and then they just swept Winnipeg, and now they're sitting in the semifinals, and then the Islanders just beat Boston, I think like 6-2, and they're moving on with a rematch with the Lightning. So the Lightning, and then it's going to be game 6 tonight for Golden Knights, Vegas, and the Colorado Avalanche. So that's going to be big. I mean, Vegas can win and move on, or Colorado can tie things up at 3 and then push to game 7. So I want to assess this first. I know none of us probably really know too much about Montreal. None of us are Montreal fans. They play, obviously, in Canada, really not on TV too much, but they didn't seem like they were a team to make it this far. So you guys kind of surprised that they made it this far, and then especially to sweep Winnipeg.
Yeah, I'm very surprised because now I guess that's an 8-game win streak that they're on, because they came back and beat Toronto and they're down either 3-0 or 3-1. I don't remember what it was. Regardless, it was still a huge comeback. Then to sweep Winnipeg. There are underdogs in both of them. But the one guy that I think we all know, or at least have heard the name, is their goalie is Carey Price, who's one of the best goalies in hockey. And he's been here before. He's an elite goaltender in the league. And when it comes to playoff time, he just turns up to another level. So I think when you have a goalie like that leading your team, go as far as he'll take you. And that's what we're seeing with the Islanders right now.
Yeah. So, Castle, I'll ask you, obviously I know you're a Rangers guy, but I mean, the Islanders back to back. I mean, the Islanders last year made it to the Eastern Conference Finals against Tampa Bay. Now they're going to be playing in the semifinals against Tampa Bay. Do you like their chances, or do you think Tampa Bay is just too dominant? What do you think with that series?
It's tough for me to pick because Tampa has always been one of the premier teams in the NHL, always have had that reputation for being very competitive and being a top team. However, this last series with the Bruins was crazy. I mean, just the way that Boston's lineup was looking this season and how they were playing at the beginning of the series, I really thought that it was in the bag. And the Islanders came out of nowhere and stepped it up and ended up winning big. So, you know, the thing is no matter what sport it is, whether it's basketball, hockey, whenever you come out of a big series like that takes out a lot out of your team, I think you definitely feel a little effect of the effects going into the next game. So my biggest concern with the Islanders is, can they be ready to go against Tampa? If so, and if this is a continuation from what we saw in the Boston series, I gotta like the Islanders for putting up a big fight against Tampa. If not, and they slip up early on, and if they lose the first two games, I think it might be hard for them to come back.
And then, Fromwitz, what do you think with Vegas and Colorado? Do you think Colorado can push it to the game seven, or do you think Vegas is – I mean, I'll tell you what. Ever since Vegas became a team, they have had such great success. I mean, that first year made it to the Stanley Cup, obviously lost to Ovechkin and the Capitals. Then I think they missed out on the playoffs, but then they made it to the Western Conference Finals last year. So do you think they can clinch this game six tonight? Or do you think that Colorado's going to be able to push to the game seven, then from there, who knows?
I think that's more of like a coin flip. It could go either way. It's going to go down to the wire. Vegas is very dominant and has been ever since they became an expansion team. But you can't count out Colorado because of the firepower that they have on their first line, led by McKinnon. They also have Rantanen.
Landeskog.
Landeskog, that's the other ones. That's the first.
And then Kale McCarr on defense is fantastic for them.
They've got a nasty team, and this is a rivalry in the making between Vegas and Colorado. So I would love to see this go seven games because of how physical and intense their matchups have been. And they played 8 times in the regular season. So this is a rivalry in the making. So for hockey fans' sake, I hope it goes to a game seven. Personally, I don't really know.
Yeah, I don't think really anyone knows. I mean, obviously Vegas kind of has an advantage right now. I don't know if the game's in Vegas. I'll have to find that out right now. But, I mean, you know, you could say Vegas kind of has an advantage. They're up 3-2 in the series that's been neck and neck. And Vegas is home. So Vegas is going to be electric tonight. And it's 9:00 p.m., I believe, Eastern time. So if you're not doing anything, I would definitely check out that game. It's going to be a very competitive game. But it's been so close in that I don't think anyone can really tell. For me, you know, my good friend Trevor and his dad, Donnie, they're big Avs guys. So for them, I want to see the Avalanche win. But I won't be mad if Vegas wins. Obviously, so I want to see Vegas win their first Stanley Cup. I've looked, you know, it's been so impressive what they've done. It's just, in their short amount of time that they've existed. And I think just to kind of finish it off, the expansion draft for the Seattle Kraken is in July. And I think teams are really going to really go into depth and analyze their roster and see who by giving up are we not going to get hurt by, you know, the loss of them. Or who, I mean, because I think a lot of teams made mistakes with putting up guys for the expansion when Vegas came in. That's why they've been so dominant. So I don't think the Kraken are going to be as good and had, you know, such good instant success that the Vegas has had, because I think teams are really going to spend more time and pay more attention to who they allow to, you know, put up for the expansion draft. So I think that's going to be very interesting. And it's just, it's so, the NHL playoffs, I'll tell you what, they are very competitive. They're fun to watch. And
there's nothing like playoff hockey.
No, there isn't. I wish, you know, the Blackhawks were in it. The Rangers are in it. They're not, but you know what? It's still fun to watch. And we'll have to just wait and see who will be hoisting the Stanley Cup and who will be hosting the what's the finals trophy called? For the NBA.
The NBA finals trophy?
Yeah. Isn't it named after someone or no? I could be, or maybe it's the MVP trophy that's named after someone.
I think the actual finals trophy is named after anyone now.
Finals trophy is Bill Russell.
Okay. So, well, either way, you know, there's going to be some trophies being raised in the, you know, in the next coming weeks. So definitely keep watching it. And then, you know, we'll break the news on our social media. Like I said, this is our final episode, so we won't have another episode to talk about until when we rejoin, but we will be back. We're going to take a little break right now. But thank you, everyone, for keeping up, listening to our episodes, keeping up with the social media. Shout out to Matt Engler, our social media guy, for producing great content on our Instagram page at 3P Podcast. And he's going to continue it throughout the summer, even when we're taking a break. So shout out to him. Shout out to Kevin from Wild Chat for being such a great partner. We're looking to continue growing with you guys, growing throughout, you know, with Wild Chat Sports. And again, like I said, thank you to all of our fans and audience for listening and keeping up with us. We're having a blast doing it. So, you know, season three seasons done, boys. You know, it's been a blast, and I'm looking forward to season 4. It's gonna be a great one, better than the best one yet. So, looking forward to that. Thank you for listening, and 3P'd out.